I just got that Friday night fever. So our Friday night game, it is huge. It's the traditional rivals. This rivalry has been going on since the birth of the world, let's be fair.
Absolutely.
They hate each other, these two, and they could be 100,000 people and break their all-time home and away attendance record. And one of those superstars that will be in the crowd, well, being a superbox, he was just telling us that he's going to live the high life for quite a while now. He's a premiership player for the Blues, and that is our good friend Peter Bisasto. G'day, Pete.
G'day, guys. And, really is a clash of the past, isn't it? When I come across from Perth all those years ago, Joel and Jack, I was told instantly when I got over there, we don't like Collingwood, and Collingwood don't like us, and of course we don't lose to each other. So the clashes have been absolutely unbelievable through the year, and really looking forward to this one on Friday night.
Well, it's the biggest one for quite a while. I mean, Carlton. Yeah. And, I mean, they've played in some classics in the last couple of years, and this rivalry just heats up. What are your fondest memories of playing in these big games and against a team that you really didn't like, at all?
Look, it's a good point. I think it's the expectations, guys, you just don't know what's going on. And, boys, I don't know whether you know. I've been fighting cancer for a couple of years now, and the VFL and AFL, families have been absolutely unbelievable. And a couple of weeks ago, I got a phone call from Peter Dacos, and Pete said, "Buzzy, how are you going? How's the treatment going? Et cetera, et cetera." And look, if you want anything from me or some of the Collingwood boys, and help you out and that sort of thing. Don't hesitate to ask. And I think the rivalry had its friends. We, a lot of times we're enemies, of course, but enemies were on the field, guys. And after the game, and we had the pies and the pasties and the sausage rolls and the sandwiches and the drinks together. And I think we sort of got on pretty well. But the rivalry was on the field. And I remember the 1981 grand final, Joel. It was just a fantastic day. 117,000 people there, and halfway through the third quarter, that chant went up, Collingwood. we're in big trouble here, and then we had a couple of freaks. Jack, one called Wayne Harms, and the other one was Jimmy Buckley, kicked a couple of goals just before three-quarter time, and I think, we just run over the pies in that stage, and, we won our 13th premiership. And the rivalry went on every week, every year, and next year we went to Victoria Park. Not a nice place to visit, Joel, Victoria Park, and, there's a very unfriendly people out there, especially to opposition players, we had about 25,000-30,000 there, packed the house out, and the atmosphere is just electric, and it makes you do things that you wouldn't do. So that's the sort of thing that I like, the expectation or the unexpected things that happen. And that's the rival between the Victorian clubs, Carlton, Collingwood Essendon, Collingwood Richmond Carlton, etc. And it's just fantastic football to play in.
And Peter, you played a lot of footy up in Perth before you came down and joined the Blues. What sort of a shock was it like when you came down to Melbourne and donned the blue jersey?
Oh, very much so, Joel. Very much so. I think I played my first scratch match, and we played Richmond down at Bendigo in one of those community games, and halfway through the third quarter, I was in a pack. They kicked, they scratched, they bit, they whacked, they kicked, everything like that. I got off the field that day, and I rang Dad and I said, "Dad, they don't play footy over here, honestly, And he said, "Son, if you don't cope with it, you might as well get on the plane and come back." And I think that really got me sort of used to it. And the great story goes around, Joel, that the third one we played was against Hawthorn in a scratch match, the community, and played pretty well. And unfortunately, in those days, the Carlton Blues weren't very, very good at playing practice or scratch matches, and we got done pretty easily. But the three best on the ground for Carlton were Fitzpatrick, Kenny Hunter and myself, and of course we're three West Australians, and we've all three played pretty well. And the next Tuesday, Lou Richards rang the club and said, "Can we interview young Bezusto? You know, we've heard that he can do this and that." And Louis got on the fence and said, "Well, Buzz, look, we've heard you can jump as high as this grandstand. You can tackle like a machine. You can kick free goals." And I said, "Well, Lou, I can jump higher than this grandstand. I can kick free goals, you know, at will, and I can tackle like an absolute, fighting machine." And he put it in the paper the next day, Giles. And I thought, "Oh my God, I'm in big trouble here." Anyway, we ran out onto the ground at Richmond versus Carlton, the first game of the 1981 season. There's 77,000 people there, listeners, and I ran onto the ground with shaky legs, I can tell you. And I never got a kick for about the first 20 minutes, and the runner comes screaming out to me, and excuse me for saying this, listeners, but he said, "You big-headed so-and-so from Western Australia, you never got a kick." And I said to him, Jack, I said, "You can't breathe. I can't move." And then the great man, David Parkin, saw that I was struggling. And he sent the runner back to him, and he said, "Just take three deep breaths. Take a look around the crowd, take it all in," and it was the rest is history there, guys, because it did help me. It did help me settle down, and the overawedness of it, I got used to. So the great man David Parkin, what a coach he was, and he probably saved my career. I think at that stage, at the 25 minute mark, Joel, I was on the plane back to Perth. But it all ended up well.
Well, was it always Carlton then? You would have had a lot of offers considering you were such a champion in the West. Was it always going to be Carlton?
Well, you do know, Joel, that I'm the only person in history to take the mark of the year, yes, the goal of the year, and a premiership in 1 year. I had an opportunity to go to North Melbourne. Unfortunately, in those days, guys, it was a Form 4. And to come across to Melbourne in that time, and I don't know whether you remember or the listeners remember, but the 30th of June, guys, you can apply for a clearance, and you could get a clearance to come across to that particular side. But I sort of balked at that. The two clubs couldn't come up with a solution, so I did wait for the 1981, and there was a couple of others that sort of showed a little bit of interest. But I ended up signing with Carlton because I really wanted a team with a bloke called Wayne Johnson and a bloke called Mark McClure, and we probably, which the premiership half forward line, of course, but it was a very, very good half forward line, and it was complemented, guys, by the Mosquito Fleet, which was, unbelievable, Ruck Rovers and Rovers, and I'm talking about blokes like Ashman and Marku and Sheldon and Buckley and Phil Malin and David Kloscock, which, really did complement, that side. So I think that year, Jack, we had 22 games. I think we won 19 of the 22 games, and the only two games we lost was to Collingwood, would you believe?
And Fede, I wanted to ask you about, you mentioned there that you took Mark of the Year, and there was a pretty good mark last week on Anzac Day, you might have seen it. Did you ever take a grab as good as Jamie Elliott did?
Oh, look, he probably comes in around about 92 in the top 100, Mimer's a big pack mark, Joel, come on, Mimer's a big pack mark, and in those days, yeah, Joel, you didn't come off the ground if you kicked the goal, Jack, I did a show with Stevie J about 5 or 6 years ago now, and someone asked him, "Stevie, what do you think of coming off the ground when you kick a great goal?" And he said to the lady, "I kicked the freak goal and they wanted me to come off the ground. I got tailed down. 4 minutes later, I went back on the ground and I kicked another freak goal, and then I come screaming off the ground. They tailed me down again, and then they brought me back on. I kicked another freak goal." And he said, "I got more tired running off the ground than I did when I was on the ground." I've got a little bit of equally what he was talking about there, guys, because if you're in form and kicking goals, you must stay on the ground, shouldn't you? You're on fire, and you're helping the team, of course. Kick goals at will. So it's a very strange tactic. to me that clubs do that. And you know, I couldn't you know, really come across you know, Mr. Lockett, would you like coming off the ground after you kicked 6 or 7 in one quarter? And Mr. Dunster, would you like coming off the ground as well? And Gary Ablett Senior, of course, would you like to come off the ground, Gary? Well, Gary never completed you know, we've come off the ground in training, a little like coming off the ground when he kicked some great goals. Joel, I've got a terrific story for you again. I was again in treatment, and fellas, I'm going back to Perth, had my 50th round of chemotherapy. I've got battling liver cancer at the moment, and about 6-8 months ago, I had a very, very interesting phone call, and the guy got on the phone and said, I played my first league game on you. And I thought it might have been one of my mates just trying to gee me up. And he said, I've heard you're struggling and, you know, you're financial and emotionally and that sort of thing. And he said, look, I want to sign a couple of jumpers for you and send them across so I can help you out with your, you know, your expenses, et cetera, et cetera. Because chemotherapy and PET scans and all that sort of thing, Joel's not cheap. Not cheap, but you know, I was sort of you know, trying to make ends meet, and the guy said, "I'll send these couple of jumpers over, sign them for you, and send them across." And it was Tony Lockett.
Oh, awesome!
Oh, wow!
Very, very, yeah, no, very, very happy that Tony did that, and he did actually play his first league game on me, and he was, I think, about 18 at the time, and you know, he said to me, "Buzz," he said, "I had 26 kicks on you," and he said, "But 24 were kickouts. You played a 4-4, and I played on you in fullback." You know, so, but no, it was very, very good of Tony, and you know, I sold him at an auction that we had for, as a fundraiser for me, and very, very good. And a couple of weeks later, Joel, I had a phone call from Keith Gregg and, you know, Bernie Quinlan, Dougie Hawkins, Brad Hardy, all, you know, Brownlow medalists and that sort of thing. And I was saying before that the AFL, PFL families have just been enormous. And, you know, the legacy that that I played in that era, you know, I think was terrific because we look after each other. And I think that's the way to do it. And, you know, we've, well, I think since I've played, Jack, there's probably 10 or 12 that, you know, passed on, you know. Who I played against in grand finals, and you know, Robert Plough is probably one of the main ones there. And you know, it's just very, very sad. Billy Pickin, I played a lot of games against Billy, and you know, he passed away. And you know, it's just something that, you know, I've got to keep fighting for. And you know, with the help and you know, the support of the family, it's just terrific. And every now and then, Joel, you just like someone to say, "Buzz, how are you going? Keep strong, you know, keep the, you know, the good work up." But I don't envy anyone going through chemotherapy, fellas, and, you know, just the listeners out there, if you've got a pain and if you've got, you know, a sore rib or something, so you're finding it very, very hard to, you know, to go to the toilet, go and see a doctor. You know, he will assess it. And, you know, I had stage 4 cancer, Joel, and if I had had it, you know, 2 or 3 months before that, I probably wouldn't have gone through what I'm going through now. So, you know, my information to people is, if you have something like that, please go and see a doctor. And, you know, the cure is pretty good if you can get it pretty early.
Yeah, no, that's not a true word. And just your health, mate. Are you battling well? Is there any sign of recovery?
Yeah, look, as I said, Joel, I've had, you know, around about 48 rounds. And, again, as I said, it's not nice, but I'm sort of having a rest every, you know, 4 or 6 weeks. And he gives me that off the oncologist. And I come good for that weeks. But I've just got to be vigilant, fellas, and, you know, just keep an eye on the spots on the liver. And as probably people know, the liver is a regenerated type organ. So, you know, the more that we can attack the spots and the cancer. And one good news, of course, fellas, is that, as my oncologist said, Peter, you've got no other cancer in your body. So it hasn't spread at all. So the chemotherapy must be working.
Yes, it is. And also what would be keeping you in good spirits is the form of the Blues. They unfortunately lost on the weekend, but gee, they've much turned around since the dark old days about 10 years ago. How excited are you for Friday night's game? And do you think they could possibly even go all the way this year?
I think the evolution of the club, Jack, is important. You know, you can't win a premiership sort of virtually off, you know, one couple of ordinary seasons. And look, I thought the 3 games that they played last year in the finals put them in very, very good stead. You know, the pressure, of course, you know, was on, and you know, that fantastic game against Melbourne where it could have gone either way. But look, honestly, Joel, I did have to ring the undertaker because my heart stopped when that Blake Acres took that mark and nearly hit the bloody post. You know, with about a minute and a half to go, and it'd be heart stopped, you know. So, it was something that you know, the 96,000 people there got very, very excited about. And look, I think there will be probably 96,000-97,000 there on Friday now, and the spectacle will be great. I saw the Geelong game on the weekend, Jack, and you know, the crowd was just unbelievable. And you know, football is back, and you know, I still think they've got to do something about the umpiring, because I think the interpretations of umpiring now is leaving everyone pretty, you know, pretty angry, et cetera, et cetera. So if they can get that right, you know, football's back in a big way. And, you know, we've got over COVID, and we've got over a lot of those other things. And, you know, the Carlton-Collingwood clashes, and, you know, the Collingwood-Essendon clash of a couple of weeks ago was just sensational, wasn't it? And the games are getting closer and closer, guys, aren't they? And, you know, there's no sort of real, you know, 100-point or, you know, 70-point drubbings now that some of these clubs were, you know, getting beaten by. But, you know, all well to the clubs that are, you know, trying to get themselves out of it. And you mentioned Carlton was exactly the same. You know, we went through sort of a situation here of, you know, 5 or 10 years of playing very ordinary footy. And, Jack, we've been 27 years since we won a premiership. So I think it's about time that we won one this year. But other sides might have a different opinion.
Well, I mean, yeah, Joel's a Magpie, but, yeah, I'm a Melbourne. And I think 3 years is too long, so... you know,
I did actually see that game, Jack, and they were very good that day at Optus Stadium over there, and you know, they got some terrific players, and you know, I just really love watching you know, Christian Petrarca and Big Maxi Gorn do their stuff, and I just do think we love watching, you know, the competition, and we do love the skilled players, don't we? And you know, we're going around and strutting their stuff, and you know, as I said, I'm still, you know, a great believer in the footy, and as you just mentioned there, I'm just very, very much looking forward to Carlton evolving into a pretty good side over, not this year, but maybe in the next couple of years as well.
Oh, well, it definitely could be this year, and there's no coincidence that the record crowds are attending once Carlton is back up and going. I mean, I was fortunate enough to be at the game on Saturday afternoon, and even in that semi-final last year, I've never heard a crowd like it. It's just
very
so
true.
Noisy.
Yeah. Very good point, Jack. Very good point. And, you know, it was just sensational to be there. And, you know, when one kicked the goal, the other crowd went berserk. And then the other team kicked the goal. And I think there was just as much support. So it might have been a 50-50 crowd there, guys. And so, you know, towards the end there, when Carlton were kicking those two or three goals just before the end, I think that the decimal noise ratio was pretty high. But then, of course, Geelong you know, buttered it out with a couple of goals in there. That last couple of minutes, but no, terrific to watch, and it's giving supporters and members of clubs, you know, something really, really look forward to on the weekends to go and watch their football team.
Yes, and as a Melbourne supporter, I'm just not used to that sort of noise. I mean, normally it's just a faint clap from us Melbourne supporters, but didn't know you could actually cheer that loud. I didn't know it was possible. But
exactly, yeah, for sure. No, but the football's back, isn't it, guys?
Is,
and
great.
That's the way it is, and. You know, we've got some fantastic, you know, players going around, as I just mentioned, you know, a couple there. You know, we've got Kuno and, you know, and Cripps at you know, then we've got Dugowie and Pendlebury at, you know, the Magpies, and, you know, other teams have got their superstars as well. So it's just terrific to, you know, for people to sit down and rest. I still don't think, guys, it was, you know, in those days of, you know, 35 years ago when football had the beef and the battles and all that sort of thing, and you know, there's no big pardons in those days, and you know, they're a little bit soft now, aren't they, really, Joel? I agree with you, what you just said, yeah.
Fantastic. Hey, mate, we might have to leave it there, but really appreciate you giving us some of your time. Good luck on Friday night, mate. I'm sure the Blues will put in a great one for you.
Thanks very much, guys, and again, thank you to all the support that I have been getting over the last couple of years, and people like Sport FM has been terrific, and the Perth people in Perth have been terrific as well. So, thanks very much, guys, and thanks for listening to me, and go the Blues.
Go the Blues.
Cheers, Peter.
Good on you, Buzz. Good on you, mate. There we go. Peter Bisasto from the Carlton Footy Club, premiership player, 141 games for Perth, before crossing to the Blues to win a premiership mark and goal of the year and a premiership in the same year, Joel.
That's pretty good.